following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No, I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to a Monday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show on this final day of June as summer flies by. It's 4th of July week, and I know a lot of folks, especially with the 4th falling on a Friday, probably going to take a little extended vacation this week. So if that's you, sit back, enjoy it. Glad you're along with us. If it's not you and you're working the daily routine, hope we can entertain you for the next hour or so here. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on this Monday. We've got a couple of local products that we're going to be chatting with today on the Doug and Daddy Show. World Cup Fever and Scott Steinbrook, Kearney soccer coach. You may have been reading in the Hub, the Lincoln Journal Star, his blogs. He is back. He is going to join us in studio. We're going to get the real experience. I've got questions that I know he won't want to answer on air. I want to know about the soccer. I want to know about the rain. I want to know about the competitiveness. I want to know about the social fun times down there, what it was like. So we're going to talk with Scott about that. Plus, Dante Rodriguez is going to join us. He's getting ready to head off to Iowa State for his collegiate training. He goes to Croatia with the FILA Junior World Team later this summer. We'll be talking about that and about how you can help, and all that's coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show today. Plus, a recap of a lot of things that happened over the weekend. Also, want to throw out producer Jeffrey, hard at work. It used to be 12 teams in 12 days, but tomorrow, Rutgers and Maryland officially become part of the Big Ten Conference. So now, Jimmy, we've got to do 14 teams in 14 days. So next Monday, 1 week from today, our Big Ten football preview begins.
Which team will we have first? Do you have any idea, guys?
Michigan State is what we decided. We're going to go with the defending conference champions. We're going to talk with Michigan State next Monday. We're going to do a Big Ten overview, and then we're going to get into Michigan State a week from tomorrow, next Tuesday, and then we'll run down all the teams, and it culminates on July the 25th with our Husker Roundtable. Sean Callahan, Steve Sipple, Mike Babcock. We'll be talking with those folks, getting ready for the Husker season, because that's the 25th, and then it's off to Chicago for Big Ten Media Days, which this year are July 28th and 29th. So we'll be in Chicago catching up with coaches, players, and letting you know what all's going on. But sticking with the Husker theme, the Big Red Express tour with Union Pacific came through the Tri-Cities on Saturday, and I wouldn't say that it was psychotic and bonkers, but there was a good crowd at both Grand Island and at Kearney, and a lot of folks got to take pictures and hear words, and I think the university kind of got done what they wanted to do, make some appearances, get some TV, radio, newspaper time, and now, as Coach Pelini says, we'll have just a little bit of time here to finish up our relaxation, maybe do something with the family, and then the grind starts as they get ready. So it looked like it was a fun time for those that attended on Saturday.
That's good, and he is right. Well, I'll tell you, it is a grind. Once football season does start, it's a 7-day-a-week job, and a little bit on Sunday you can kind of just recover a little bit. But, I mean, it's not like you slept well Saturday night, win or lose.
Well, that's it's here before you know it. As you said, everything is pushed on your plate, pushed on your plate, pushed on your plate, and we just move along in this whole circle of life. One football season came to an end on Saturday, and Sioux Falls is just a step ahead. The Nebraska Danger, fall, 63-46 in the United Bowl. The Nebraska Danger are a good team, but I think you've got a Sioux Falls team, Jimmy, that is good enough to play at that next level of indoor arena-type football. I mean, if you're 82-3 at home since 2006, you've won the league title four times in a row, you're finding a way to play better than your league is. I think that might be the safest and fairest way to say it.
Yeah, you know, the Nebraska Danger are close, and the Texas Revolution and the Colorado Ice are two teams that on a given day can compete with those groups. But there is a big difference, and you can even tell with the amount of players they have, the way their equipment is, things like that. I mean, it's just, it's a whole different deal. And, you know, the South Dakota team definitely takes it really serious, you know. But so does Nebraska. I mean, the Danger, like I said, they can compete with them. I mean, you know, they got beat 63-48. They just needed a couple stops. You know, so, you know, I think you said it was 46, so that might have been what the score was, 63-46. But, you know, I think, you know, if they going in, if they thought they could get 40 points, I think they thought that maybe they had a chance to win. You know, but they got to get some stops, and that game's about getting some stops.
Yeah, they did.
Or turnovers.
Yeah, yeah, they couldn't get a tip ball, a deflected pass. I mean, they were scoring. They just weren't scoring enough. They weren't scoring on every possession, and that's kind of what Sioux Falls was doing. But last time we talked, last week with Coach Davis, kind of getting ready for this, you know, I just point-blank asked him, Jimmy, I get this feeling. They talked about all year, all the guys that came back for one more year. I think the Nebraska Danger, I'm not saying that the wins and loss total will be immensely different, but this is going to be a very different-looking team next year. Almost all the players... when you're talking, you only suit 23, you know, when you're talking 15 guys are probably going to be different out of those 23. It's like a whole new team coming in here, and how many of the coaches are going to stay? Is it time to look in a different direction? Have they done what they wanted to do, and do they have other things going on? I mean, here's what Coach Davis had to say.
There's probably 10 or 15 that are moving on. And that's, you know, whether it's time to get a career and stuff like that. There was a majority of these guys that came back for one reason and one reason only, and that was to try to get back to the championship and play Sioux Falls and win it. That game last year left an awful taste in our mouth, and it ate at me the whole offseason, and these guys as well.
And it's tough when you're that close, you're there again, but second again. And there's nothing wrong with second, but the reason they were doing this is they wanted to go up to Sioux Falls and get the victory.
Yeah, and, you know, basically, I mean, this is a hobby, you know, for these guys. This isn't a career when they're playing these games. And they're, you know, and I'm not 100% sure on this, Doug. I know what the referees get paid. I guarantee you that. But, you know, I think the winners get about $450 a game, you know, if that much. And I think that if they lose, they get like $350 a game. When you think about, you're only playing one game a week. You know, and sometimes not even that, you know, with the buys and stuff they have. So, yeah, you know, there's some men, they have to get them some jobs and things like that. So, you're right. Hey, if you have to have a career, you can't stay in double-A baseball your whole lifetime, you know, and especially if you've got something else going on that you can make some money doing.
No doubt. So, that's what will happen with the Danger, and hopefully we'll get a chance to kind of recap things tomorrow. Just want to let folks know we're back in Grand Island at Bandits for the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be there from 11 to 12. World Cup soccer tomorrow. Bandits, your place to be. You were able to watch the game if you were in Grand Island. They had the United Bowl party on Saturday, so we'll talk with Tim and the gang over there, some special guests, and more on the Danger. The six-man shootout was also on Saturday. Nebraska scored first. Nebraska scored last. In between, Wyoming outscored them 68-14 for a final score of 68-26. And that's where it's hard. When I talk to the coaches and when we talked to the coaches last Friday, Jimmy, it's hard to get a grasp on that because, as we said, the six-man game is not in this all-star fashion like 8-11. There's only so many things you can do. And, you know, you just don't know. There's not as many kids to pick from because there's not as many schools, obviously not as many seniors. And it doesn't surprise me that in an six-man all-star game that the score could be lopsided one way or the other.
You know, the one thing, Nebraska, I think, has maybe 16 schools that play six-man football. It could be 15.
Yeah.
But they have like 16 schools that play. Wyoming will have more than that. But the one thing is, anybody ever gone to a junior high football game? If you've gone to a junior high football team, the team that wins is the guy with the one best player. You know, whoever has the one, because he has the all the rushing yards and he makes all the tackles. And if he happens to get hurt, the whole game changes just like that. If he has to go out for a play or two. But I've seen games where it was one-on-one almost. And I would imagine in the six-man All-Star game, I don't know who the kid was. I didn't go to the game. I wasn't there. And maybe I shouldn't even make this statement. But I'm guessing that Wyoming had a kid that had at least more than one touchdown.
Seth Bennett ran for three touchdowns, passed for another.
Okay.
So there you go, from Matisse. If I got that right.
Oh, yeah, that's Matisse. What it is. We've seen him play all year, Doug, you and I. That old Matisse, Wyoming.
You're crazy.
Yeah, that's it.
Nebraska scored on the first play. Travis Hoover of Hyannis, a 65-yard pass to Wes Anderjoska, and I probably butchered that, out of Juanita Palisade on the first play from scrimmage. And then it was like a six-man game, had plenty of points as they went over 90 total in that football game. But it's a good little series, and next year the Nebraska team heads out to Wyoming to play. And that should kind of put a cap on this All-Star stuff. Now we'll have the Coaches Association All-Star Clinic is coming up in July. So you've got basketball, boys and girls, volleyball, and softball. And then time to get ready for high school practice once the calendar turns August. We're only about 5 weeks away from high school football practice.
Isn't that something?
Doesn't matter to me. I don't have to go out there for 2 days. But it's just that close.
Doug, I heard that you played in the golf tournament on Friday. Somebody told me you had the longest drive. You must have got a hold of one. What happened here?
If you swing hard 18 times, there is a chance that you could catch one. And there just happened to be long drive on that particular hole. And it wasn't even a par three.
And you yeah, that wasn't even a par three. Hey, you must have nailed one, because I knew who you were playing with, and those guys can hit it.
Yeah, I know. That's what I told you. I said, here's what I say. Anytime you happen to sign one of those, let alone win it, everybody, you know, likes to flip you a little. And so I just said, you know, in scrambles, it's not illegal to carry a potato gun in your bag. And so you just load it up and fire.
You can swing as well. Hey, did you win anything that you can share with Jeff and I, or is this something that was an individual award that you just won it by yourself?
I'm sure it was a pedicure or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Pedicure, you know, or manicure. There you go.
Yeah, I got something.
Okay, good deal. Congratulations.
We might be able to do something.
Hey, it's good when something good happens to you or one of your co-hosts, and this time it was you.
We had fun. We had fun this couple of days of losing golf balls this weekend, so fun all the way around. One other place, Jimmy, before we go into break, that must have been fun. Had there not been anything locally going on, I think I really would have loaded up and went to Omaha for the fight. And, I mean, Tony Boone, if you read his article, says he's not sure that it's number one, but if it's not, it's right there. In 20 years of covering sports, the coolest and most exciting event that he has ever covered was the Crawford-Gamboa fight, which went to TKO. Crawford pretty much dominated. I'm not sure the exact number, but I saw four knockdowns, I believe, in the fight. Finally, a TKO in the ninth to retain the title, the first boxing title fight in Nebraska in 42 years.
Hey, you know, we had him on the air, and I could have talked to you, but I'm just going to ask you real quick. Was that scheduled for 10 or 12? The rounds, do you know? Was that a
12?
12 rounds.
I do believe.
Yeah, so,
12,
yeah.
I do believe.
Knocked him out, TKO in the ninth.
And both of them were undefeated coming in. 11,000 fans unofficially. The official number, 10,943 at the arena, which was, if not a sellout, near capacity. I've read and listened to two or three different deals on that. Of course, you put that ring down and chairs on the floor, it's a little bit different situation. So there you go. Big, big win, and as we said Saturday, Crawford wins. It's going to get more excitement here in the sport of boxing in the state of Nebraska, because now more people will recognize this name, more people will follow him. So,
yeah,
big win.
Vegas was right again. I think they had him a 2-1 favorite. So, yeah.
Also, don't forget, if you're a part of the Cornhusker State Games, always have been or want to be, this is the deadline to register for most sports in the Cornhusker State Games that take place July 18th through the 27th. There's a few sports on that first on the opening weekend in Lincoln and Omaha and the surrounding area. 65 sports for all ages and abilities. It's also a qualifying year for non-Nebraska participants that hope to qualify for next summer's State Games of America, which Nebraska hosts in 2015. Find out more or to get registered, go to CornhuskerStateGames.com. CornhuskerStateGames.com. We're going to take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. When we come back, he made it. He's got all his shots. Everything's good. He survived Brazil. Scott Steinbrook, he is Kearney's soccer coach, basketball coach, and maybe the biggest soccer fan in Kearney that I personally know. He went to the World Cup, was gone a couple of weeks, and he's going to tell us about it, plus Dante Rodriguez. He's going overseas to Croatia for wrestling. We'll talk about that as well. Stay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
People from all around are talking about how the new Refirm Now is changing their lives forever.
I lost 79 pounds. My energy has increased and I'm even more toned.
I believe this is the perfect product to give you the energy and motivation to lose weight. I actually cut my body fat in half.
Refirm Now is the biggest weight loss breakthrough in years. Helps with stress, more energy, fat burning, your appetite, and the best body toning ingredients.
I've never felt better. Just take the step and get to complete nutrition.
So if you want the strongest fat burner to hit the market since ephedrine, you need Refirm Now. Found only at Complete Nutrition. If you lose more than 10 pounds in 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of Sun Mart on 2nd Avenue.
Look, feel, perform better. Complete Nutrition.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, we could see some showers and thunderstorms early. Otherwise, it'll be sunny and breezy with a high near 86. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low near 58. Tomorrow, it'll be sunny and breezy with a high of 79. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Currently, it's 81.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan back with you in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, ready to wrap up the month of June. You know, insiders tell me that every once in a while, if you slide in there the last couple of days, you might have a salesperson that wants to hit quota or is just like one truck, one car away from beating everybody else. There could be a little something extra incentive. I'm not saying that that's the way things work, Jimmy. I don't know. They don't tell me these things. That's just the way of the business world. But the bottom line is, every day, hassle-free pricing at the Midway Auto Dealership, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney, or check out their inventory online at thinkmidway.com. When you go to thinkmidway.com, you'll also find special deals on if you need a new set of tires, or you need them rotated, or you need an oil change, or you need some work done on your vehicle. Plus, there's their Facebook page, and on the Facebook page or thinkmidway.com, you can get entered for Midway's Extreme Giveaway, which this summer, one lucky winner will win a Kawasaki Vulcan 900 and a free skydive package courtesy of Atlas Skydive. Midway, also a big part of the Buffalo County Fair, so check that out as well with their VIP packages. Not just great cars, new and pre-owned, but taking care of the community as well. Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Jimmy, I don't know. What's the most exotic? Overseas, have you traveled? Have you ever went any place that you needed a visa?
Yeah, I did. I went to Puerto Vallarta one time, and I remember the thing that was the most amazing is we just trusted a guy when to get us to our motel, which was inclusive. And I swear to God on this, we only had to go about $5 or $6. I had no idea where we were going. I mean, he could have took us wherever he wanted. They get, you know, our wives could have been for sale, you know, in an hour. You know, let's be honest. I had no idea where he was taking us. But anyway, he was going about 120 miles an hour in town going through red lights. And when he got us there, he goes, you kind of waved at us. And I thought, hey, I hope this is the right place because I have no idea what's going to happen next. So I
mean, go down to the corner, ask my man Jameer, and then give him $20, and then you go right, and then. But nothing quite like compared to what our next guest has just experienced. Scott Steinbrook, Kearney soccer coach, joins us in studio back from the World Cup. Not much of a traveling hangover, is there?
No, with only 2 hours time difference, it was, you know, it's not like some trips that I've taken overseas where it takes you a few days to kind of get back into the routine. So, you know, time zone change wasn't all that bad. So it's kind of back to reality here and back to normal life after a couple weeks of enjoying the World Cup.
There are a lot of people that will take vacations, those once-in-a-lifetime trips that they've thought about and they've planned on for years. When the World Cup came and was announced, Brazil, because Qatar is in 2022, so we're 8 years away. When did you know that this was going to be one of those bucket list deals?
Well, 4 years ago, I attempted to kind of work out a travel package to South Africa and just epic fail there. It just couldn't make that work. You know, but then a couple years ago, it maybe became a little bit more of a reality. You know, the group that I belong to, the American Outlaws, kind of a U.S. soccer supporters group, you know, puts together travel packages, whether it's a match in Kansas City or the World Cup in Brazil. You know, they have really kind of taken off with their popularity and put together these trips. So I started looking into that. I was on the waiting list for not quite a year, probably 6 or 8 months. And then it was about in January where I just got an email that said a spot had opened up on their group. They had about 500 spots initially. And as the reality of people having to write a check and take 2 weeks off work, you know, as it came closer, a spot opened up. And luckily, my profession allows me to sneak away for a little bit in the summertime. And that's how it all started.
There's a ton of questions. And even if people followed along with the blogs, not all the questions are going to be answered. So before I get into United States and what we've seen and how they're doing in the match tomorrow, did it live up to everything you thought it would?
Yeah, and that's what I've told people. You know, I've been back in town for a couple of days now, and everybody asks, you know, how was the trip? And you know, sometimes you have these huge expectations when you take a family vacation or you go to a sporting event or you participate in something. You have these huge expectations, and inevitably you get let down by that. But this time, absolutely, it lived up to the expectations, and even exceeded expectations. Everything from just the soccer experience to meeting new people from all over the world, just seeing a part of the world that I hadn't been to yet. It was an absolutely phenomenal trip.
Hey, you know, when Nebraska plays like an Oklahoma in football or a Texas in football, the rivalry and almost the fans before the game are not really happy and polite to one another. And definitely if the game's close and there's any controversy, it really gets ugly. Was there anything that happened like that you noticed?
Well, not really, because, you know, we were from 3 or 4 hours before kickoff, based on where I was sitting at the game, we were always surrounded by U.S. soccer fans. You know, so there was always, you know, playing Ghana, playing Portugal, playing Germany. You know, they had not quite as many people as we did there. Germany probably did, but, you know, such a high percentage of the fans in the stadium, which is unbelievable that U.S. soccer has gotten to the point where 20,000 people are traveling to Brazil to see a game. But, no, there wasn't any of that tension. You really can't say we're even rivals with any of those teams, but the fan experience was great. I mean, before the games, after the games, the people we did cross paths with, you know, were very generous, very wanting to take pictures. You know, it was a very festive atmosphere.
I noticed in reading some of your blogs how you were able to be friendly with the competition, fans-wise, Portugal, Ghana, and then, of course, the monsoon that ensued in Germany. Some people don't realize, I mean, when the World Cup was in the United States, they played in Boston, Los Angeles, Chicago, I believe New York, and various other spots. And that's kind of what it was like in Brazil, one of the most vast countries in the world. What was it? What was travel like? You had 4 or 5 days between each match. Just take us through what went on just to even get to go to those matches.
Well, our home base was in the city of Natal, about a million and a half people right on the coast. Beautiful city, definitely a tourist destination, very safe city. So when the pairings were announced, the draw was announced, we found out we were going to be stationed in Natal there, we were all pretty happy. Just, you know, hear some horror stories about Rio and Sao Paulo when you're talking about cities of 15 or 20 million. You know, travel might be a little sketchier sometimes in those places, but we were pretty lucky staying in Natal. So that was our home base. You know, we spent every day there, but then we took a bus to the Germany game in Recife, about a 6 or 7 hour bus ride, and then we flew to Manaus, which that day, you know, the travel there was incredible just based on delays. Our buses left our hotel at about 2 a.m., got to the airport. After the game, you know, there were some delays with the charter flights back to Natal, so we probably spent 6 or 8 hours in the airport. It ended up being, from start to finish, about a 48-hour, two-day travel adventure there. And was it worth it? Yeah. Did it take a couple days to recover? Absolutely. And we were on two jets, and I was luckily, I was on the first jet, so we had some minor delays. You know, the story's been circulating on the internet. ESPN did a piece on it. The second plane over had some real serious travel issues where, you know, the fuel bill wasn't paid by the charter company. I don't even know all the details. And they spent about a day and a half in the airport just trying to get from Manaus, where the Portugal game was, back to Natal, which is kind of where our home base was. So the travel was a struggle at times, some long days, but, again, definitely worth it.
I chuckle, Jimmy, because if a lot of the people were from Lincoln, Omaha, Kansas City, we've got Scott here who's part of soccer and basketball at Kearney High, who's 5 hours to Scott's Bluff. Nothing! That's not so. Were you one of the calmer people during all of this?
Oh, I think everybody when you travel to a different country, I think there's always some expectations that it's not going to be as simple as flying from Omaha to Denver or Denver to Dallas. You know, there's just going to be some complications when you're dealing with different transportation regulations and different government policies, and so we expected some maybe hiccups with the travel, but the trip to Manaus probably tested all of our patience a little bit.
Scott Steinbrück, Kearney soccer coach, is with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, just back from Brazil and the World Cup. We all witnessed that they were up in arms here in America about the rain and even being able to play that Germany match. How'd you get there? What was it really like? Was it as bad as it looked?
It was. Our buses left from Natal about 2 or 3 in the morning, so it was kind of an overnight bus trip, and we had left earlier than anticipated to maybe try to beat some of those rains. So it rained, you know, pretty much the entire bus ride. It rained kind of at the pregame festivities. It obviously rained at the game. I didn't really see any pictures of the flooding from the city until just a couple of days ago. But, that part of the country, it does not get a lot of rain. And their roads and their highways and their transportation, it's not equipped to handle that sort of rain. We experienced that a little bit when we first got to Natal. And then obviously in Recife, it was just as bad there.
So it's like Vegas, Jimmy. They can't handle rain and snow.
Well, Vegas, one thing, when you're at the airport, Doug, you know, in Vegas, and the flight's a little bit delayed, I mean, there's slot machines there to play and stuff, and there's some things to do. Now, I didn't see anybody in Vegas with semi-automatic rifles.
Yeah.
And I'm just guessing that in your airport with the security that you probably didn't want to go up and complain too much.
No, there was not a lot of complaining, and unfortunately, there was not a lot of places to get a cheeseburger either or watch a game on TV. The airports, first of all, they weren't all completely done, and the construction wasn't necessarily all finished. So, it wasn't like an airport in Vegas or an airport in Omaha, even for that matter, but not quite up to the standards that maybe we were used to. But we had to deal with it, and we all kind of took it in stride and went on about our business.
Scott Steinbrück with us for another few minutes here as we'll get into the actual playing of the World Cup. But, Jimmy, we talked about this when it started, like the first day, the day teams were arriving before there was actual competition. You know, you had people protesting and a couple of riots, and we said, you know, who has time to go to Brazil for a month out of their life just to protest? So I guess on the negative side, what did you see any of that? Was there any places you had to stay away from? Did your groups have any stories like that?
No, honestly, we in the three cities that we were at, again, we spent such little time in two of the cities. We basically just buster flew in, went to the game, and then came home. And again, our home base of Natal, we truly saw none of that, whether it was trying to get to the stadium or around the stadium or in the stadium. It was just a real fun, festive environment. And again, those were some of the horror stories that we all heard about, even going last summer, watching the Confederations Cup on TV, and there was the protests. There was a transportation strike in our city, Natal, a couple days before we got there. So reading about that online, you know, a little bit nervous about how that was going to work. But from the time we were there, from the time we left, you know, we did not see any of that, any of the striking, any of the protesting, none of that. So we felt pretty fortunate about that.
Okay. One more question we got to ask. You mentioned fun and festivities. What can you share with us from that side?
Well, from a fun and festivity standpoint, U.S. Soccer and the American Outlaws, you know, they do a great job of having a kind of a Husker tailgate type of atmosphere on the game days. The night before, you know, U.S. Soccer always puts on a big get-together. Will Ferrell actually showed up for one of them. Unfortunately, that was not one that we were at. He showed up in the night before party for the Germany match, so they would bring in little celebrities, you know, U.S. soccer folks would kind of address the crowd. But, again, it's easy for me to compare it to Husker football because that's something that we can all relate to. We've all experienced, you know, it's just that anticipation, that hype, that build up to the game. So that was just all part of the fun.
He didn't answer the question, did he?
Well, did I dance around that one a little bit? I don't know.
All right, let's get into specifics here. Ready? Okay. At a Kansas City Royal baseball game, beer's about $9 a beer. Did they serve beer at the games?
They did, and it was much cheaper than that. Very regulated prices. That's another thing.
I know you didn't have one, but what your friends did.
My friends did. The Coca-Colas were reasonably priced as well. There was lots of rumors about price gouging. You know, I read an article about, you know, expect to pay $35 for a cheeseburger and things like that. So we were stunned. I mean, things were cheaper, and then the value of the U.S. dollar there, you know, goes very, very far. So whether you're buying T-shirts or cheeseburgers or Cokes, whatever you're buying, you know, there was a lot of purchasing power by the U.S. dollar. So the prices were more than fair, to answer your question.
All right, next question. If it was in Iran or Iraq, we know that the women have to wear a lot of things over their faces and things like that. In Brazil, that's not true. How were the beaches?
The beaches were great. The beaches, we went to lots of different beaches and enjoyed our time there because it was great. We had about, like I think Doug said, 3 or 4 days between each game. So we had plenty of time to get out and enjoy the local sights and sounds.
So basically you say you could look left or you could look right and you were in a good mood.
Yes, it was a great place to be. I'll put it that way.
All right, that's specific enough. I have no more questions.
Well, let's get a couple comments on the actual soccer. Friday, here's what I said. And I think you'll probably disagree because you are soccer aficionado. I said the United States needs to win tomorrow against Belgium to continue to make the so-so fan like me, a sports fan, say, I don't want to say it's a success, but to keep me interested in soccer from here on out, not 4 more years down the World Cup. Is that a legitimate statement?
Oh, I think that's a very fair statement because in America, that's kind of how we're wired. We want our team to be the best. We want to compete for championships. Whether you're a Yankees fan or a Broncos fan, you want your team to compete for championships. And the fact that U.S. soccer isn't quite to that spot yet where we're saying, hey, it's a success, just the fact that we advanced out of the group stage. You know, for soccer fans, that was a huge accomplishment. For an average sports fan, a common sports fan who just, you know, wants to win, you know, that's maybe harder to understand. But I totally agree that there's tons of momentum going on right now in the sport of soccer, especially with the World Cup. And if we lose tomorrow, for a lot of fans, that's the end of the World Cup. Are common sports fans still going to turn in to watch Brazil play the Netherlands or Argentina play Colombia? Maybe, maybe not. I think ESPN does a great job of producing it and promoting it. But I think momentum will really continue to boom if the U.S. wins. Are we going to win? I don't know. We're probably the underdogs, but I think we've played well enough to at least be competitive and give ourselves a chance to win. And I hope we do, just to kind of see this positive momentum continue to go forward.
Again, not being a genius here, but the way this is played out, if they beat Belgium, now that they come out of the group of death, aren't they on the easier side of the bracket? I mean, all the way to the finals type. I'm not saying that they're good enough to get to the finals, but isn't Argentina about the only other power that's left on this side?
Yeah, the way the bracket did work out, you know, the fact that we finished second in our group, which was quite an accomplishment there. But I think, yeah, you're right. Getting Belgium, are they good? Yeah, but it's better to play a team like Belgium than a team like the Netherlands or Argentina right away or the host country, Brazil. So, again, if you're looking at the bracket, you know, there is a real possibility if if the U.S. can play well, that they have a chance maybe to win another game or two.
Do you think they scored 30 seconds in against Ghana? The analysts, and I can only go on what the analysts are telling me because I could be totally wrong. I just see what I see. Ghana outplayed them after that. They made two mistakes against Portugal, maybe more, but they led to the two goals, but they scored two goals. And then that Germany thing was just very hard to watch until the very, very end there, where the United States had nothing to lose, it seemed like, and actually made a charge. So is that assessment fair? How did you think they played?
Well, I think you're right. You know, it's funny how soccer works sometimes. Against Ghana, we got outplayed. We definitely got outplayed for big stretches of the game, and we found a way to win. Against Portugal, we were better. There was no question. Portugal's ranked fourth or fifth in the world right now. We were the better team that day, and we can't beat them. We ended up, you know, giving up a goal early on a mistake and a goal really late on a mistake. But outside of that, you know, there was no question who the better team was on the field. And then Germany was just plain better. I mean, that was a very clinical effort by the Germans. And again, we knew based on the result of the other game that a tie might be good enough, even a close loss might be good enough. So I don't think the U.S. took a ton of chances until, like you said, really late. But, you know, again, it was a good test. It was a good accomplishment to make it out of the group stage. Belgium will be probably similar to, you know, how Portugal was with some kind of explosive talent. They won't be as good as Germany, but they'll be better than Ghana was. So we'll see. It should be a great game, and hopefully we can keep things rolling.
I got a question for you, and I don't watch soccer as much as a diehard fan. I probably watch soccer quite a bit because I just love all sports. But, you know, it seems to me, you know, in the NFL, they're having trouble with the extra point about how it's automatic. And it seems to me that in overtime in college football, you know, they put the ball on the 25-yard line, and they had different rules, and they said, okay, now, after this second overtime, we're going to have to start going for two to avoid these seven overtime games. I think soccer, I have a real problem with these people playing for 90 minutes. I really do. And then playing with the stoppage time, and then playing overtime. And then all of a sudden, now we've got a game that's 1-1 or 0-0, and now we're going to put the ball, you know, it's almost like it's a layup. For in basketball, it's not like you're shooting three-pointers and five guys got to shoot a three-pointer and they get to guard him. I mean, they got one goal. I mean, you could put two goalies in there and it'd be easy to score. Okay, so explain that to me. Do you think that is a weakness of the game a little bit? Because the extra point kick used to not be that good in the 1960s. In the 1960s, you can look at stats in the NFL, it was not that automatic. It is automatic almost now. Extra point kickers are 99 out of 99. Okay, so I think we're just watching. I think it was Mexico. Was that no? Which game was it that
we had
watched?
It was Mexico, Brazil, or
Saturday. We had a penalty kick game. Costa Rica went to penalty kicks.
Yeah, Costa Rica, Greece yesterday, and then Brazil. We're all drawing
Colombia? A blank on who it
yeah.
was here.
No, I know it's Costa
Rica. Brazil and Chile.
But
Brazil and Chile. There
yeah,
we go.
Costa Rica. But I was watching that, and then also I noticed that there was that was a tough penalty call for a referee to make in the Mexico match, right or wrong, because you're going, yeah, if I call this, it's not like he's got, you know, all right, I'm going to call it. I'm blowing my whistle, and I know the guy's got a 98% chance of winning the game right now if I make this call.
Yeah, the penalty kick shootout to decide a match, and I think you could go from World Cup to NCAA all the way down to high school. It's nobody's favorite way to end the game. Now, it's dramatic, it's exciting, it's tense, so I guess those things could be positives, but like you said, you play 90 minutes, then you play another 30 minutes of overtime, just hoping that the game can be decided on the field. And in overtime, it's not like it's, you know, it's not a what we call a golden goal or sudden death. And if you get scored on, you know, you still have the rest of the overtime period to, you know, to try to equalize and maybe get to that penalty kick shootout. It's an odd way to end the game, but it's tradition. It's been around basically forever. I don't know how long it's been a part of the World Cup. I would assume probably since the beginning of the World Cup way back in the 1930s. But nobody wants to necessarily lose a game that way. Nobody really doesn't want to win a game that way. It's just such a tense, dramatic way to in a different way to end the game. But it's just part of the game, an accepted part of the game. And some people love them. Some people hate them. And it's just all part of the tournament.
Yeah, and I don't mind it being hard to end the game that way. What I'm saying is too easy to score.
You definitely.
I think you need to move the ball back. I mean, in the NFL, they don't no longer do. We've made a mistake, and they said you can't end the game on a field goal kick. Now,
yeah.
You've got the other team. If you got to kick a field goal, the other team gets the ball. We knew we messed that up. That was a mess up all the way because whoever won the coin flip was going to win overtime.
Usually.
Yeah, I mean, it was a high percentage. In this thing, I want to be the goalie. I don't want to be the goalie. Somebody else can go in for me right now. You be the goalie now. I just shut him out for 100 and some minutes. I don't want to play goalie anymore.
Yeah, the odds are definitely in the favor of the shooter on that one. I think in yesterday's, in the Greece-Costa Rica game, I think out of the 10 penalty kicks, 9 were made. And then the keeper makes one save and ultimately wins the game there. So.
Scotty, we'll get you out of here on a couple last questions. A, is there anything that you can or you wanted to bring back as far as a teaching tool from this?
Well, I just think it's the passion of the game. I mean, I think there's small pockets, you know, locally in the state, in the city. There are growing pockets around the country, just the passion that people have for the game of soccer. And to witness that firsthand, especially in a country like Brazil, where literally every kid that I saw on the street in the stadium was wearing a Brazil number 10 Neymar jersey. I have never seen anything like that. You know, we see a few LeBron jerseys or Peyton Manning jerseys, but truly every single person that I encountered on the streets playing soccer, watching soccer, you know, was wearing a number 10 jersey for Brazil. So just that passion where it means so much to them. You know, I've never experienced a sporting event where, you know, the emotions are quite like that. I've been to a lot of, you know, local sporting events and regional sporting events, but nothing quite like that, where the emotions are so amped up there. So I, you know, that's one reason I did some of the blogs, and I appreciate talking to you guys today, just to kind of bring a little piece of that back to kind of bring that experience a little bit closer to home for people that have been following along.
So who's going to win this thing?
You know, I can't really say the U.S. I hope the U.S. wins. But even Jurgen Klinsmann, our coach, said, you know, that it's not necessarily realistic for the U.S., you know, to win the World Cup at this stage. So if it can't be the U.S., Brazil has so much pressure on them. But who knows? Maybe it's just destiny for them to win, you know, the World Cup on their home turf. I hope they do. You know, the people there were so great and so welcoming and hospitable. So, you know, I'm really kind of rooting for them. Unless somehow the U.S. ends up playing them. Germany's also obviously pretty darn good as well. A lot of people's pre-tournament pick, Spain, didn't even make it to the knockout stage there. So, you know, there's always some shocks. And this World Cup definitely has provided plenty of those as well.
I wanted to hear a lot of the stories. That's the main reason. I mean, this was a somewhat selfish interview, and I hope the listeners liked it as well. Did we miss anything?
I don't think so. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground here. I'm sure there's more stories that probably could be told, just some of the travel things and just some of the cultural experiences. But you know, ultimately, it's about, you know, kind of watching and cheering for the U.S., and that's what I'll take away from it, just having a chance to, you know, to see the U.S. play three pretty darn good games. And I'll be honest, going in, I was a little bit skeptical. I wasn't sure if by the time I got back if the U.S. would still be involved in the tournament, so I'm pretty excited to still watch us play another game and get together with my local fans and cheer for the U.S. tomorrow.
Well, I know that you don't have any doctor or dentist appointments tomorrow at 3 o'clock. So,
I definitely don't, no.
We'll let you start pregame, and thanks for sharing your stories, and it was fun reading the blogs, too.
You betcha. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
That's Scott Steinbrook. He is Kearney High's head soccer coach, basketball coach, soccer fan. I don't know. Are soccer fans just stranger than the rest, Jimmy? I don't know. Or do we just perceive them that way? Because Husker fans are weird, you know, from the outside. You know what I'm saying? Every school's fans are, you know, if you're Northwestern, you don't get it, you know, when you come to Lincoln.
Well, if you have a passion for anything, and if you're really a huge fan, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to act. There's people that are extremely nervous just watching the game, but they didn't cover their face, you know, in paint. You know what I mean? So, I mean, there are people that cover themselves in paint, and I don't know if they – I know they're fans and they want to draw a little attention to themselves, but I don't know if they're dying as much as somebody else is that's just sitting there, you know, that really knows a tremendous amount of interest. So people get nervous, and especially if you're watching your favorite player, your favorite team, or your children play. Yeah. You know, can you imagine what it'd be like if your kid was a field goal kicker in a football game and that's all he did? And he came out there for that one kick, and you're sitting there, oh, my. I was just hoping they'd score a touchdown. I don't want the pressure on this thing, you know, on one thing right here. So.
Well, don't forget, tomorrow's United States-Belgium game will be right here on ESPN at 3 o'clock. We're going to take a break. We're going to talk with Dante Rodriguez, the Iowa State recruit, who's also heading overseas to Croatia to continue his United States. He's with Team USA. We'll talk about that. And we've got more coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show right after this.
Do you love fireworks? We do it. Hot Rocket Fireworks. Each year, we travel thousands of miles trying out the best fireworks to sell at our locations. Because if we don't like it, we won't sell it. No one wants a dud. At Hot Rocket Fireworks, we appreciate our troops. If you're a member or a vet, we'll take an additional 20% off your purchase. Find Hot Rocket Fireworks at 11 locations across central Nebraska. Or love us on Facebook and we'll love you back. Family-owned Hot Rocket Fireworks, creating memories one fuse at a time.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. Or you can call it Hastings Kino, you can call it plain Kino. My point is this, we aren't just your daddy's Kino parlor anymore. We're a new restaurant. I mean, the building's in the same place, but it's a new restaurant. The faces are different, the menu is different, atmosphere is different, everything's different. It is a new restaurant. If you haven't been here lately, you haven't been here.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Who likes contracts? Whether it's your gym membership or cell phone service, nobody likes contracts, right? That's why you should choose Prairie iNet. They offer amazing internet service and you never, never have to sign a contract. You will get fast, reliable service for streaming video, playing online games, and social media. They're locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. And there is no risk with their 30-day money-back guarantee. Remember, no gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Are there any worse words than, quote, buffering or loading? When you think reliability and internet, think Prairie iNet. Prairie iNet provides reliable, high-speed service that can keep pace with the excitement of streaming video, playing online games, and social media. Oh, and how about never having to sign a contract and a 30-day money-back guarantee? Prairie iNet is locally based with local people, local support, and local pricing. No gimmicks, no contracts with Prairie iNet.
To sign up for Prairie iNet, call 308-224-2309. 224-2309.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares. Rocky.com.
For today, we could see some showers and thunderstorms early. Otherwise, it'll be sunny and breezy with a high near 86. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low near 58. Tomorrow, it'll be sunny and breezy with a high of 79. And tomorrow night, partly cloudy. Currently, it's 81.
Take me home tonight. Listen, honey, just like a runner said.
Be my little baby.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us. Doug did a Jim Langan with you on this Monday. Don't forget, tomorrow we'll be in Grand Island at Bandits, getting you ready for World Cup soccer and talk a little Grand Island sporting events as well as what's going on in the area. But, Jimmy, we get a chance to talk a little wrestling here. This has always been very successful in our area, in the state. And Dante Rodriguez joins us in studio here, part of the Junior World Wrestling Team. That it's amazing with wrestling. I think they get more opportunities than almost any sport. Because when you go overseas, you're not going. You're going to what do I want to call it? You're going to Croatia, Uzbekistan, Russia, the Iron Curtain type of back in the day, those type of countries. You're not going to vacation in a lot of these places.
Yeah, well, if you are, you're going to the sightseeing is going to be quick.
Well, there's some cool stuff.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Yeah,
Travell Travell has been one of the guys that's told us about that. Rulon Gardner's told us about that. Some of the cool things that you would never have got the chance to take part of if it hadn't been for the sport of wrestling.
Yeah, and I definitely agree that, you know, every country be fun to just kind of see what their culture's like and what they do. Donnie, I mean, just looking at you, you look like you've gained maybe a quarter of a pound since the last time. Oh, what have you been doing? Just taking it off and taking it easy here or what? Have you not been working out?
No, I've been lifting a lot and working out, but I don't know. I'm trying to get bigger for college also, so it's kind of some of these – out-of-country teams, you're going to see that they're going to just be just as big or bigger. So I'm just working on getting a little bigger, but I'll have to get my weight down when I have to. But just right now I'm focusing on a lot of my training and lifting, so, and that's kind of why I'm getting a little bigger, I guess.
Well, you had to finish off all that food from the graduation reception. Have you got rid of it all finally?
Yeah.
Well, how excited are you? Because since the last time we had John, you've qualified for the team. I mean, you're going to go to camp. You're getting ready for college in Iowa State. You're going to head up to Northern Michigan, you tell us, towards the end of July, less than a month. You're up there for about 10 days before you take off for Croatia. I mean, you've been a lot of places, but this has got to be the next level here for you.
Yeah, I don't know. It's still kind of a mind blower for me. When I had to go out to Madison, Wisconsin, that's where I had to go to qualify to go over to Croatia. But just being able to go there and compete for the first time and be able to get on the team for the first time was just amazing. It was kind of one of those things that I've looked up to as a little kid. It's just one of those things to start off my bigger and better things, because always when I was little, I always thought, like, look at those guys going to Olympics and getting gold medals. I've always seen that, and that's a life goal for me, is go to the Olympics and hopefully at least place or at least get that gold medal that I always wanted as a little kid. But this is just a start, being able to go on the junior world team. I was competing with first year, second year college kids that already got that experience and been on maybe the team already. Or there's, like, if you get second, you go on the Pan Ams, and that's also you. Those guys are going to be going to Canada. But that's just a great experience for these kids, that you get an experience going overseas and seeing what wrestling's like, because overseas they don't do folk style. We're the only country that does folk style, and that's just weird to all the other countries, because they're just freestyle Greco only. So being able to go over there and wrestle the kids that have been training freestyle and Greco all their lives, it's gonna be a different level. But I'm just gonna go over there and wrestle the best I can, like always. But it's gonna be a great experience to wrestle with different countries, because this is my first time. It's gonna be a life changer also in the sport of wrestling and in Greco and freestyle for me. But it's just going to make me better, and that's what I'm wrestling the summer for, is to make me better in the summer for freestyle and Greco, and then help me continue in getting better in folk style, because freestyle and Greco just help you more in folk style also.
But how hard is it? I know we've kind of talked about this maybe just throughout your career a little bit. It's two pretty totally different styles of wrestling. It's almost like doing two different sports, only it's still wrestling. How tough is it to do as good as you did in high school and all those tournaments, and then take all the time it is to wrestle this style? What when did that become natural to you, I guess?
It didn't become natural to, like, switch back and forth until, like, high school. It was always different, because when I liked freestyle and Greco, I always liked it better than folk style. I kind of wish that high school did one of them instead of folk style, but it was pretty hard to get in the routine of both, because you're just used to getting easy points in freestyle and Greco, because you only have to turn them past 90 degrees and you get 2 points, or like you take them down, it's 2 points. Now it used to only be one. But and then you get push outs. Kids are not used to getting just pushed out and getting points, and folk style, that doesn't happen. The matches stop and you don't get any points. Just feet to back is 4 points. That's and a tech fall is 10 points. It goes pretty quick, and then the matches are 2-3 minute periods, and it's just kinda a thing that you have to get used to, with the new rules always changing. It seems like they change every year, but me and my dad always stay on the ball of that, because you always have to know what the rules are, how you're going to be wrestling the sport. And because some kids, if you don't know, they're going to be like, what happened? And so you just have to know the points system and how the rules are. But the past couple of years, it's been easy to switch back and forth. It hasn't been too hard for me. Greco's way different, because you can't touch the legs, but I like the sport. But when I get folks on freestyle, I already know that you can touch the legs, so it's not hard to not touch the legs in Greco. I know what I have to do, but just all the sports, freestyle, Greco, folk style. They're just going to give you a different look on how you have to wrestle it. And it helps out a lot with folk style. Kids don't think, oh, you can lock your hands in freestyle and Greco and you can't in folk style. But I think it's kind of nice you can lock your hands because you can squeeze people tighter and whatnot. But I just like it. I always liked it when I was little, and I kind of wish that the United States kind of just did those sports because that's what everybody else does in the world. But we're different, so U.S. has always been different, but it doesn't change anything at all for me. It's just getting better and just wrestling time.
Now, will you go to Iowa State here? Because about the 15th of July, you'll be heading to Northern Michigan for tryouts, or I'd say practice, and get ready to go, and then you're going to travel. Tell a little bit about what your month's going to be like here, you know, from maybe July 1 to, like, August 1.
I know I got I have a coach in Illinois. He's been contacting me, wanting me to go out there also, but I'm not sure if I'll be able to make that trip. I know I have my coach in Omaha, Zach Dominguez. He's always been a part, like a family friend since we were little. My brother's wrestled with his little brother, and we just wrestled together. And he's been my coach for the past couple years. He's the head person of Nebraska for freestyle and Greco. And I know he wants to get me out to Omaha, and just he's been on these junior teams and the world teams like Travell has also when he was wrestling at that age, and he just wants to get with me, watch some film and whatnot. So I might head out to Omaha and do that, and then I might head out to Iowa State. I know the Polsons, Travis was out there watching me this weekend, but I just need to do whatever I can to get ready for Worlds and before camp, because I just can't be sitting down, because I just need to be ready for what's to come at camp and what's to come after in Croatia. And just doing a lot of get on the mat, that's what I need. I don't get much mat time on the around here because a lot of kids are into baseball and other sports like that, and some of them are just in the mood for football. They're just lifting, getting those workouts, and they have to do with their coaches. But I get some mat time with my little brother. He's been wrestling a lot with me this summer, and he's been doing a lot to help me be on the mat and not get out of shape. And then also just getting in the lifting also workouts. I know I'll be trying to go to CrossFit as much as I can before I leave, but I just need to do whatever I can, do stuff on my own, just little runs, doing stuff like that. It's just going to help me out a little bit more. It's not much, but still keep me in shape and just getting me ready, and, just getting me stronger and whatever I need to get ready for Croatia.
Dante Rodriguez with us for just another couple minutes. Of course, Kearney High kid, wrestled at Grand Island, picked up another championship here at Kearney, going to Iowa State. He's going to be part of the United States team at the Junior Worlds in Croatia. You mentioned Kearney CrossFit. There's going to be a really cool event coming up, and as we get closer, we're going to be talking more about it. But it's Saturday, July 12th, all day long. Of course, Kearney CrossFit, located on West Highway 30 in Kearney. They're going to have all kinds of things to help Dante's family have a chance to go watch him in Croatia. They're also going to be benefiting the Safe Center that day. You can check things out at Kearney CrossFit and find out more. They're going to have a military challenge as military enlistees battle it out. Marines, Army, everything going to be there from 10 to 12. Then they're going to have a chance to wrestle with some of the champs. Dante will be there. Some other collegians and national champs will be there in the afternoon, plus various CrossFit workouts and a social time from 4 until 6. They've got a lot of events that are going on. Food will be available. It's a cool day out there at Kearney CrossFit, and plan on that if you can, just to slip out there for a little bit of time on Saturday, July 12th. I guess, Dante, the one thing that I'm curious about, you told us that there's only 8 members, there's 8 weight classes, so there's 8 members on the United States team that's going over to Croatia. How many countries, what's the format? How many matches will you get? How long are you there? Is this a bracketed thing? Is this a couple-a-day thing? What's the competition like?
I'm not exactly sure how many countries there's going to be, but I know a little bit about how the wrestling goes. If you win your first match, it's hard. You're basically out of the tournament. And if your guy keeps winning and he gets so far, you're going to actually come back into the tournament, stuff like that. But you're just going to be in a bracket the same way we wrestle freestyle and Greco. But it's just going to be a different mentality and wrestling, like whether they're going to bring to you. You just don't know how the other countries, they wrestle. They wrestle different. Every country wrestles different. You see it in the collegiate wrestling all over. And some of these guys, like Jordan Burroughs and Travell, they've experienced that. And they can tell how the U.S. is a little bit different. And I know they're kind of struggling trying to get that up. And they're trying to, like, some of these countries get little kids at little ages to start training right away. But that's what we kind of struggle at, because a lot of these kids are just folk style. So we're trying to improve that as the U.S. I know I go out to the Olympic training camp in Colorado, and they're starting to improve on that, see more little kids getting in there, and they're training them. So they're just trying to better freestyle and Greco in the U.S., and they can tell we're doing a little bit better, but we could be doing a lot more, and that's it's good for these kids to get out there and experience this. And just going over to Croatia is just going to be a big thing for these 8 kids that are going to be going, because it was hard for us to get on that team. There's only 8 spots, and you have to see, like, I had to get down to 60 kilograms, which is 132.25, but the next weight above was 145. So is either I go up to a weight that kids are going to be cutting down, or I was just going to have to make that cut myself. So it's just you have to kind of make those spots. I know, like, the bigger guys, like even Tony Ramos, he wrestled 133 in college. He had to make a cut down to 125. And it's just where you had to see yourself as where you're going to be able to compete and where you're going to compete the best. So that's just the sport of wrestling. You have to do kind of sacrifice yourself and do what's best to make the team and whatnot.
Now, Jimmy, I don't care what sport it is. If you get to put your nation's colors on this 4th of July week, it's a great week to be talking about it. But Dante gets to stripe, put on the red, white, and blue to represent the United States in August over at Croatia. And, of course, we'll continue to talk about the event that's going to be going on out at Kearney CrossFit on Saturday, July the 12th. So, Dante, man, congratulations on this great honor. And I know, as we said before, a lot of cool things are still ahead for you.
Thank you.
And, Doug, you are right. That is a great honor. Anytime you get to, you know, no matter what age you are, you know, if you get to do that, that's got to be something great. We're really proud of you representing Kearney the way you are and being able to do that. It seems like you've answered a lot of our questions. You kind of know what's going on here, which is, you know, which is really good for your age. I mean, you know, because you were going to be one of the youngest people there. There's no doubt about that. When it's not like you're going to be wrestling a bunch of kids that are 16 and 15. You know, you're going to be one of the youngest guys there. So you're going to have your experience level. And being the way you are and kind of, you know, as mature as you are, I think he's going to get to help you out quite a bit.
Jimmy, I think there's only one person getting the raw end of this deal.
And who's that?
That's his younger brother, Damon. He's continually getting his butt slapped around on the mat just so Dante can stay in shape.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Hey, what do you think? Do you think his brother's going to get any better, though, doing this?
Yeah, he might.
Yeah, he might. Yeah. Next time he takes on a 9th grader from Bellevue, he might be able to beat him.
Yeah, you know, he's had a heck of a career, and he's got a senior to be up at Kearney High. But, Dante, hey, thanks for giving us some time, and we'll chat soon.
Problem. Thank you.
We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll be back to wrap it up after this.
All sports, one source, 2 stations. KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney. Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride & Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
Our nation's freedom wasn't won in one night. It's a long-standing tradition to celebrate Independence Day with fireworks that light up the night and herald our freedoms. Find the fireworks that fit our celebration at Mars Fireworks Stands. Maybe a nice backyard variety or a neighborhood party. Safe for kids products all the way up to the big stuff. Fireworks that you'll be proud to display at Mars Fireworks in the Tri-Cities and all of South Central Nebraska.
In 1902, Carrier introduced the world to modern air conditioning. We've been improving on the idea ever since. So if you're getting the idea to upgrade to a more comfortable, more efficient system, think about Carrier. There's no better time than right now. Get cool cash rebates of up to $1,450 on a new home comfort system by Carrier. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Call Anderson Brothers today at 308-236-6437. Or in Holdridge at 995-4481.
Who will rise on the world's biggest stage?
Chance from distance!
The World Cup shifts to the knockout round.
A shot from distance!
You lose, you go home.
A goal from distance!
Can the United States continue the magical run into the final eight? They face Belgium, undefeated in the group stage.
The United States and Belgium, Tuesday at 3 o'clock on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Throw it away, forget it yesterday, we'll make the greatest escape. We won't hear a word they say, we don't know us anyway. Watch it burn, let it die, cause we are finally free tonight.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Over the weekend, we asked you about the Big Ten presidents. They endorsed the four-year full-cost scholarships for student-athletes. Which way do you prefer the scholarships be given out? Four-year lump sum or year-by-year? 63% went for the 4 years. Today, we ask you more World Cup soccer. How will the United States fare against Belgium tomorrow? You can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Vote on our question. How will the United States fare against Belgium tomorrow? Win or lose? I'm going to go, maybe I'm on the wrong side, but I'm going to say win. I'm a little optimistic this one, so I'll say win. I knew they weren't going to beat Germany, so I'll say win.
I think they'll win. I mean, I think it'll be a decisive, decisive win. I got it 1-0.
Oh, you're crazy. You're absolutely just crazy. Couple of other sports notes before we get you out of here. The NHL draft took place over the weekend. Three Tri-City Storm players either are or going to be were selected. Austin Pogansky, who played 55 games for the Storm last year, was the first young man picked in the fourth round, 110th overall by St. Louis. Then three picks later, Pittsburgh Penguins selected Sam Lafferty. He is an invite who is expected to play for the Storm this upcoming year. And then finally, the last pick of the fifth round by the LA Kings goes to a goaltender, Alec Dillon, who was drafted in the second round of last month's USHL draft by the Storm. And the Storm will announce their 30-man roster here in the very, very near future. Also, the Storm announced today a staff change. Kyle Means is leaving the Tri-City Storm. He has been there for a number of years in a variety of capacities. Started there in 2006. He has taken a job with the University of Nebraska at Kearney. So moving on there for Kyle, who's done a lot of good work with the Storm and with us over the years here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Jimmy, anything else?
Nope. I have nothing. I watched runs of play this weekend, and they split with both teams, so went 2-2, and you know, I guess the only other thing that I have in this World Cup is I want to know, do you want to make a selection right now? Do you want to pick a team out, a country, just say their name?
Well, I need the bracket in front of me, Jimmy, to tell you the truth. I saw it, but to know which teams. I mean, I think Brazil.
Let's wait till next Monday.
But Brazil and Germany are on the same side, right?
Well, I don't want the Quinella. I just wanted a winner. You like Brazil because they're the host country, kind of, or
and Scotty Steinberg kind of sold me on the Netherlands. Maybe he thinks they're the best team.
The Dutch got second last year, I believe. The Dutch were second. Yeah,
I'll take Brazil over Argentina.
Okay, I'm gonna go Costa Rica for a long shot here. This go with Costa Rica.
That would be fun.
Yep. I mean, I'm gonna be cheering for them loud and hard.
They play the Netherlands in the quarterfinal round. Before we let you get out of here, if you've got lost production when it comes to your beans, your corn, you've got the wrong system that's watering it. The TNL irrigation system is what you want to be with. It eliminates the spoking effect caused by the start-stop operation of electrically powered pivot irrigation systems and gets the benefits of even water distribution and maintenance cost savings. TNL, manufacturer that has been taking care of folks for over 60 years, their systems undergo thousands of hours of product research and testing for quality and performance. Their plant right in Hastings encompasses more than 40 acres, state-of-the-art galvanizing plant, tubing mill to make sure that you have the equipment you need in this day and age for the best production. TNL Irrigation Systems, the choice is simple. Visit your local TNL dealer or go to TLIRR.com. That's going to wrap up the Doug and Daddy Show for today. We do want to thank Dante Rodriguez for coming in. Team USA headed to Croatia in a month. And, of course, they've got a great benefit and get-together with all kinds of kind of cool things. The CrossFit was on ESPN over the weekend as well, the big challenges. But you don't have to be competitive to be a part of the workout there at Kearney CrossFit on July the 12th. We'll talk more about that. Also, thanks to Kearney High soccer coach Scott Steinbrook telling us a lot about his trip to Brazil for the World Cup the last couple of weeks. Don't forget, tomorrow, the Doug and Daddy Show continues our summer tour in Grand Island. We'll be at Bandit Sports Bar and Grill from 11 to 12, where they are your soccer headquarters for tomorrow's World Cup. A little bit more on the Nebraska Danger, and we'll talk more about sports in July because June is bye-bye. So, Jimmy, until then, enjoy, man.
See you next Monday?
Well, you know, maybe before then.
All right.
Maybe. We'll see. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see you tomorrow, Doug and Daddy Show.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game.
Hey.